Please remain standing.
Amen. Take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 13. Thank you so much. And we're going to read verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to skip down to verse 46, and I'll finish with that. But let's read verses 1 through 4. I'll read verse 1, and you read verse 2 with me, Acts chapter 13. It's Acts 13, verses 1 through 4, okay? Acts chapter 13, I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2 with me. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Skip on down to verse 46, and I'm going to finish. Just follow along there at verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to earn eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all that region. And let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity as we come to your word. And Lord, I know the topics tonight, a couple of topics. I don't want, Lord, anybody to be confused, but Lord, please help us. And Lord, with what you've given us to do, Lord, as a church, Lord, the soul winning, and yet, Father, the opportunities you've given us in the future, help us, please, to be a blessing, and then use this missions conference, please, that's coming up. Lord, help us to be a blessing to the missionaries, your servants, please, and we love you and thank you in Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat there. Wanted to start tonight with showing you something here, and then we're going to move on. No, the whole thing is not going to be on a screen, okay? All hail the power of Jesus' name. Okay. I wanted to start real quick tonight and show you our website. You say, I already know about this. Probably as a resource to our people now of Gospel Light Baptist Church, probably one of the most important things you can use is if you go to, okay, first of all, on the front page, scroll on down, brother. Okay, do you see the video right there? God's Simple Plan of Salvation? If somebody doesn't have time to listen to you, but you give them a gospel track, you can point to the website and say, if you go to the website, there's a video there that's 23 minutes long, and it's our pastor showing you how to go to heaven. He puts the Bible verses on the screen and everything. I know there's a couple of people in our church who've led people to the Lord by hitting the video saying, hey, watch this, okay? And they'll watch it with the person they're showing it to, okay? So there's several ways you can use it. It's a tool. It's a resource. Okay? Second of all, go back up to the top. Go over to media and sermons. If you hit that right there, okay, hit that. That takes you to 800 sermons, 45 on each page. Everything I've taught here in Sunday school, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Okay? If you say, whoa, 800 sermons, that's a lot. Well, what makes it useful is this. If you would like a sermon about heaven, okay, can you type in heaven right there? Heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place. Okay, when you hit submit right there, all the sermons that I've preached about heaven, in some case it's kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven, but go back up to the top, brother, okay? Seeing the Lord and living for heaven, the first thing Jesus told us to do after going to heaven, rejoicing in heaven. If you wanted to hear a sermon on a certain topic, or let's say you would like to witness to a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness, and you need to kind of beef up on, you know what I mean, sharpen your sword, get ready for some, you know, how do I answer those weird questions? You could type in Jehovah's Witness. You could, as a matter of fact, do that, Brother Miller. Go back to the search. Yeah, there we go. I think you got to go to media. Have you done this before? Have you used that search thing? Does it search all the sermons again? Type in, Jehovah's Witness. I know, type in the word witness. Okay, here we go. All the teaching I've done on the errors of Jehovah's Witness are right there. And you could, look, I'll give you information when you're getting ready to witness to somebody and when you're getting ready to give them the gospel. But if you need access to the website, you've got to read. It's like giving you a Bible library that you can search for what you need. Amen. I wanted to show you that, remind you of it. And then can you go back to the front page? Okay. To the home page there. Just hit home. Yeah, that or. Okay. November 9th looks like the day that we're going to be told yes or no on whether we have a radio station or not. Okay. The paperwork's been turned in. FCC. November 9 is the day. Now, that is the Tuesday of our missions conference, okay? So if I find out something, I'll tell you, but we'll stay on track with the missions conference. You say, why is that important to you? They're putting in, right now our station is 55 watts. They're putting in a 550-watt radio station for us. That's $25,000 worth of equipment. Somebody bought it. They're putting it in, the engineers. Why am I telling you this? It's going to be down in Lexington Park. It's going to have a 20-mile radius. We still won't be able to get it on the car radio, right? But on your computer and on your phone, it'll be on the internet. Which means if you were vacationing in Tennessee or Kentucky, you could have access to the radio station on your phone or your computer. Okay? Now, why does that excite? I'm not trying to have a nationwide ministry. Don't care. I've never strove for that. What thrills me about this is for people of our church, I want on the home page there'll be two things. One will be through the Bible in a year. And I'll be reading for 20 minutes, just the Bible. And if you want me to read the Bible with you, you can. If you'd rather have Alexander Scorby, God bless you. Okay? You can get him on YouTube. Okay? Now, there'll be a 20-minute Bible reading, and I'll work my way through the Bible. You can click on it if you want, okay? Second of all, the next thing there'll be is Through God's Word with Pastor Nash. And it will be 30 minutes, and it'll be a 30-minute Bible study, but it'll be expository, where we'll take a chapter or we'll take a book of Romans, book of John, book of Genesis, and we'll work our way through each chapter, okay? And that will be up there. And eventually, we'll have through the year so you can have access to that. I love doing that and having it. And that's something for us. You say, well, who else might listen to it? Don't know and kind of don't care. Okay. Whoever can listen to it. I'm not doing it for whoever. I'm doing it for us. Amen. So that's something. November 9th. Wanted to show you that. Could you please be praying about it? Amen. I think the Lord has some special things for us as a church. And there's a lot of churches that try to get a radio station and can't. And the other thing I'll tell you as I shut this down, thank you, Brother Miller, so much. Don't put anything about our radio station until November 9th on any media, Facebook, nothing. No emails, because it has to stay silent until we get the radio station, because this is what I was told. If somebody finds out down in Lexington Park in there, and there's people who try to block churches from getting radio stations, then they put in a submission for it, and then it takes 2 years or 3 years to work through it. So I just tell you, keep it quiet. We can pray about it, but keep it quiet until November 9th, okay? So with that, you're in Acts 13, and I just wanted to start the message tonight by reminding you of our radio station and telling you what to be praying about. And so in Acts 13, in verse number 4, we see here that the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me. I have men I want to be missionaries, called to preach." So the Holy Ghost sent them apart. Then when you look down at verse 40, when you look down at verse 47, I'll read it to you. "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have sent thee to be a light of the Gentiles." The Holy Ghost sends them, and they're sent by the Lord. You say that's the same person. Tonight's message is called My View of Missionaries. I've always viewed them as being in the military and in the infantry. We were always taught you know, the tactics and formations and all that. And you always got, you know, recon and infantry. And then you always had mortars. And then you had your artillery back here with air support. And you got your general war layout. But when you start talking about special forces, recon, SEALs, Delta Force, what's the Air Force is called? Is it paratrooper or pararescue? It's pararescue. Them boys, they're Air Force more. Okay, like the water they swim in, freezing water, so that they can be up to par to rescue people that are in. It's amazing. Why are you saying that? I've always looked at when you get saved, you enter God's army. Okay, but when you surrender to be a missionary, you become God's special forces. Because what's a missionary supposed to do? They're supposed to go to a foreign country and do everything we do here with less. They're still supposed to plant a church. They're still supposed to go soul winning. They're still supposed to get people baptized, but they do it with less. And if their car breaks down, they have to. And if they have medical problems, they got to fix it. You understand? Now, they can fly back to the States, but it's getting harder and harder to do that. My view of missionaries has always been they're God's special forces in the Christian army that we have. And I think tonight I wanted to point out to you, they're servants of the Lord who have given up what they have to go to a foreign land and preach the gospel. They gave up McDonald's. That used to be a big deal when I was in Bible college. They gave up Walmart. They're going to go where it's not accessible, live on less, with no family, and they're surrendering to the Lord to do that. My view of missionaries is these are servants of the Lord. You say, well, you're a pastor, and you know I serve the Lord here in my church, and I'm a servant. I know, but do you see the upper tier of it? It's at a level most aren't willing to do. You say, well, we all should be. I know we all should be willing, but the number of missionaries that are coming off of the field and the number of missionaries that are hearing God's call and they're answering are fewer and fewer. So I've always viewed missionaries, what we're getting ready to do as a church, as God's. These are God's servants. These are people the Holy Ghost touched their heart and said, out of this church, I want these two. Separate them to me because I have a special job for them. And they won't tell me no. They won't tell me no. Can you take your hymn book real quick and go to 134? When John W. Peterson wrote this song, he said, I feel bad that it's so negative. And if you ever look it up, there's three more verses that he put with it. But what's in the hymn book, you know what a missionary surrenders to when they say, I will go to a foreign field and I'll preach. I'll leave America and my home and my family. John W. Peterson put it in words in just a wonderful song to read. Watch this. So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone. What a good song. And boy, it puts the missionary's answer in just brings it right to a nutshell. Watch this, verse 2. So send I you to bind the bruised and broken, or wandering souls to work, to weep, to wake, to bear the burden of a world, a weary. So send I you to suffer for my sake. You ever heard this? I mean, some of the missionary stories are fabulous, but to hear of David Livingston when he went to Africa and through the jungles, giving the gospel to people who had never heard it before. And when he died, I think he had 21 diseases in his body. He was afflicted. That's why when they took his body back to London, the African people said, please, could you bury his heart here in Africa? Because that's where his heart was. You say, well, if you surrender your life to the Lord, God does bless you eternally, but not, okay, take Adoniram Hudson. Okay, three wives buried on the field. Three children. I think it was four. Every time one of his children would die, he'd bury him out by the tree on the other side where his wife was, one of his wives. In the mission field, they go to labor for the Lord, but to enjoy what we do here in the States, our ease, our comfort, our air conditioning, you know what I mean? Here we go. I'm not going to read the whole song with you, but read verse 4. So send I you to leave your life's ambition, to die to dear desire, self will resign, to labor long and love where men revile you. So send I you to lose your life and mine. One more verse, verse 5. So send I you to hearts made hard by hatred, to eyes made blind because they will not see, to spend though it be blood, to spend and spare not. So send I you to taste of Calvary. What a song. A missionary should be viewed as God's servant, someone God touched their heart and they said yes. Next, my view of missionaries is take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 11. I realize tonight part of the message is you getting my heart, my wife's heart for missions. A church normally copies its pastor. And if the pastor doesn't care about missions or if he's lax about it, then normally the church is, okay? When I was in Bible college, I surrendered to be a missionary, I think, 4 times. I literally, every day, it was, God, whatever you, Lord, just let me serve you. Could I just serve you somehow, some way? And then what God did after I graduated, sent me to a ranch to be in activities. And I never prayed for that one time. It was just, Lord, whatever you want, whatever you want. Matthew 10, watch this, verse 11. It says, into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire in whom it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. So Jesus tells the soul winner, when you go to other places where you don't live, find a place that will receive you and live in that house until it's time to move on, right? Does that sound like our missions conference? They're coming here for about 4 or 5 days, and then they're going to move on to another place. Watch this. And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. The missionaries know this. And when somebody's willing to take you into their house, and you pray, Lord, please bless them because of their kindness to me. That's what let your peace rest upon it. Lord, they'd give us their food. They would put us under, they'd inconvenience their family to have us in their home. Lord, bless them, please. I want that prayer prayed for me and my family by a servant of the Lord. What my view of missionaries is this, they're servants of the Lord. And anything I can do for them, you say, do you do it for yourself? I do it because any way you can help a missionary brings God's blessings. I believe that with all my heart. It brings God's peace on your home if you can keep. My wife and I, when we were in Tennessee, we had a 30 by 30 house, 900 square feet, 5 kids. I redid the attic so the boys could live up there and Abby lived there. It was just room, room, living room, kitchen. We kept every missionary we could keep. You say, why? Because my wife and I wanted God's blessing on our home. You say, where are they going to sleep? We had people sleeping on couches. We did it all. Amen? Well, you didn't have room for that. But your attitude towards missions is, I want them in my house. I want God's blessing on my home. That's always been my view of missionaries. Always. Take your Bible and just look at one story that sticks out in my mind. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 6. Go to the Old Testament real quick. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 6. You say, well, you and your wife kept people because you were an assistant pastor. No, we could have turned it down. Every person we could have in our home was a full-time servant, traveling through or missionary. They can stay with us. They can stay with us. Were we inconvenienced? Sure. But we knew it was for the Lord. I mean, I'm having visions of missionaries all through our house. Okay. Abby would give up her room. She'd sleep on the couch and they'd sleep in her room. And some of them had 2 little babies. And so they'd all, well, can we all stay in one room together? Sure. Whatever we need to do to make it happen, Cap'n. And I think it's an attitude. It's an attitude. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 6. Look at verse 8. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. God killed Uzzah because he touched the ark. Okay? You have not read the story. It's a wonderful story. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. Watch. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David or taking it to Jerusalem. But David carried it aside into the house of, watch, Obed-Edom the Gittite. So, man touches the ark, God kills him, David goes, ah! Well, David, it's God's ark, God's presence, then do it God's way, or it's going to cost you the people of God's life. David learned a rough lesson. So David goes, oh, I don't want to fiddle with that. Here, so he takes the ark of God and puts it at Obed-Edom's home. Look at the next verse. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. Watch. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And God blessed. I don't know what happened. I don't know if the garden exploded. I don't know if the fields of crops I don't know what it said. God blessed him and his whole house because the Ark of the Covenant was at God's presence was there. It was such a blessing. It gets back to David. Watch this. Look at verse number 12. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the Ark of God. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. He said, well, maybe I need a change of attitude. So David went and got the Ark and said, why? I want God's blessing. I view that the same way with keeping missionaries. You say, yeah, but we got to do this and it's going to cost us extra food. And then just the stress of having people in the house. Go to Romans chapter 11. A pastor is supposed to be given to hospitality, but two times in the Bible, church members are told to be given to hospitality. You know what hospitality is, right? That's making strangers feel welcome, right? Well, you're a preacher. You're supposed to be good at it. Wait a second. All of us are. Look at Romans 11:32. It says, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Anytime I can be a blessing and a help to a servant of the Lord, I know God will bless me. And that is a Bible principle I find in the Old Testament and the New. If I lived in a shack that had, you know, slits in the floor and the wind, I'd still, well, what would people think if they stayed in our house? I don't care what people think. I'm going to treat it, it'll be clean, it'll be nice. I want God's blessing. Amen. I want the Lord's blessing. And it'd be an opportunity that God could use me in the life of a servant of the Lord. Blesses my heart. Now, when they're here, go to Philippians chapter 4. Go to Philippians chapter 4. You're in the New Testament. I'll keep you there, and we'll look at just a few more verses. Philippians chapter 4. Tonight, I wanted you to understand my view of missionaries. You say, why? My wife and I have always done everything we could for a missionary. You mean you're giving up America and all of its niceties to go serve the Lord and possibly die on the mission field. What a sacrifice. What a level of Christianity. I admire it, and I think it needs to be honored, okay? When missionaries come here, you don't know unless you come into my office and you look at my computer, but what I give missionary, I give them everything. Do you need music for a church? Do you need hymn music? I've got over 10,000 pieces of music, sheet music, that they can take. They're Spanish or another language, I say, you can take and retranslate these and put them in your town. Oh, wow. I give them Sunday school lessons of 20 years. I give them Bible study. I give them college material to train pastors with when they get on the field. Brother Tigner said this from Ecuador. Two more missionaries have said, when we come to Gospel Light, what you give us, no other church gives us. And we're just a little church, amen, in the country. But I want God's blessing. And I'm telling you, when I was recording music, I still do it to this day. I give them everything the Lord's let me make. You say, what do you charge them? Nothing. Give it to them. Be a blessing to them. Anything I can do. When missionaries would come through for our missions conference in Tennessee, I heard one missionary say, well, brakes are squeaking. I said, I'll do your brakes. I'll do your brakes. Pastor Baker looked at me. He said, okay. He gave the missionary room. I remember doing anything I can while you're with me, while you're here. I want to help you and encourage you. So look at Philippians chapter 4, look at verse number 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Keep in mind, God's using Paul to pen this from prison, right? So he said, I'm not asking you for favors. He said, I know how to suffer. I know how to abound. Right now, I'm just telling you. What's he telling them? In verse 12, he says, I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He says, I'll make it because God's with me. He was a missionary, right? Church planter. He said, then look at verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. You helped me in my needs. You all understand in prison in those days, you didn't get clothing unless it was brought to you, and you didn't get food unless it was brought to you. They didn't have three hots and a cot. right? He said, you found out I had a need and you brought it to me in jail. Watch, for now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again into my necessity, watch, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He said, I'm not trying to get anything out of you, but I understand anything you give to me as a full-time servant of the Lord that's preaching the gospel and planting churches goes on your account. That's why anything you do for a missionary that encourages them, the souls they win, gets what? Put on your account. I want to be a blessing to soul-winning missionaries. I want God's blessing. I want, that's why if I can help you, maybe, okay, we've had some people in our church. I remember the first missions conference we had, one of the missionaries got up and he was planting churches all over the world. And it was different. We took him on for support, okay? But it excited so many people in our church. About four families in our church said, wow, what he's doing is amazing. We want to give extra money to that. You understand? Why? Because he's winning a lot of people to Christ. And if I give to him, that's fruit that's put on my account. That's added to my account. And I remember that very well, and I thought, boy, that is understanding missions. Real quick, that was Philippians. Notice how it all ends. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We use this individually all the time, but this is a church verse talking about missions, chapter 4. Amen. God supplies a church's need that puts missions first. And I believe God helps Christians who have a heart for mission. Amen. Go to Matthew 25, verse number 34. Two more things. My view of mission. My view of missionaries. Matthew 25, verse 34. Very important to understand. Watch this. Matthew 25, 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Watch. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Watch verse 40, and you ought to have it marked in your Bible because it's a beautiful, watch. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. By serving missionaries, by serving the servants of the Lord, I'm serving. Isn't that what it says? Whatever you've done for them, you've done for me. I think anything you can do for a missionary, anything you can help them with, be an encouragement to, anything I can give them when they see something in my office, oh, wow, that's in here, you can have it. Whatever you do for them, amen. Jesus, I know this is talking about Israel. I know the context of it and the prophecy, but I like the personal application too. The least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. Two more verses. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus chapter 27. I don't think, I'm not preaching this because I think anybody would mistreat someone in our church, a missionary when they come to our church. I'm also not preaching this because we have three open slots for a missionary to be taken out to eat. I'm not trying to give anybody a guilt trip. I would say this, when we found out we were having four missionaries at our church, people would fight over it. There were more offers for people to stay with than there were missionaries to fill the houses, so we had to do first come, first serve. But I think, and watch this, nor do I think we're a bad church if that doesn't happen. Amen? I'm trying to give you, this is how I view mission. And anything you can do for missions or a missionary, that's God's heart. That's God. It brings God's blessing. And I think I'm preaching this tonight because I do pray this week that we could be a blessing to the missionary. I don't know what they need. I've never met any of them. All of these were referenced to us by Brother Steele in Texas. I said, you travel, you go around a missions conference. I said, if you see any good ones, I said, recommend them to us. So all this year, he's been saying, hey, here's one. Poof. I'd call. Hey, here's another one. So, voila, We have our missions conference. Amen. But I've never met any of these people. What else do you need to understand about missionaries? Look at Leviticus 27. Look at verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Look at verse 32. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. Okay, I understand in an agricultural society, when the harvest comes, they tithe once a year on the harvest. I understand that. We apply it nowadays to giving 10%. But you have to understand the tithe, it belongs to God. 10% of whatever you make, God gave it to you, and it's holy. That's why you don't touch it. Amen? That's how come, if you're in my Sunday school class, you've heard me say, don't tithe to our class. Don't tell God how to spend his money. It needs to go in the general account to take care of the expenses of church. If you want to give to your Sunday school class, you give over the tithe. Give your tithe first and then give. You want to give to a teenager going to camp, or you want to give to a need in the church, tithe first, then give. That's important. You say, why? Don't touch the 10%. It belongs to God. That's why now go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 9. As we go into a faith promise missions conference, okay? I think a good view, a holy view of missions and missionaries would help. I think understanding the tithe should be very, I think, basic. But look at Proverbs 3 verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. There's the whole sentence. So God says, give me the first fruits. Okay? This is the verse I use to where when I get a paycheck, I move the decimal point and I round it up. Because Uncle Sam isn't supposed to get tax a percentage of my money before God does. So I give God a 10% of the whole. Gross. Then Uncle Sam gets his. Okay? Whatever it is that they're taking out of my paycheck. But God gets the first fruits, not the second or third fruits. Right? That's a basic Bible principle that needs to be understood. Okay? The tithe comes first. Then you can give to mission. You say, where's that? Last verse. Go to 2 Corinthians. Then we're done. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I was going to say, and if you get mad again, I'll go to another verse. No, I'm just kidding. Nobody's mad. Well, at least not on your face. You're not showing it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at verse 10. I don't know how you could possibly understand missions or missions giving or what we're getting ready to do next week in pledging money to missions without understanding 2 Corinthians chapters 8 through 10. You can't. It's just a form of giving and it all. Look at 2 Corinthians 8. Look at verse 10. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. You know what he's asking? He said, what you began to do last year, please stay faithful to your giving. This isn't talking about tithing. The tithe is the Lord's. But when you promised God, I'll tithe and then I give this much above 10%, 1%, 2%, whatever it is that God lays on your heart. He is saying they would take yearly pledges back then too. That's faith promise missions in your Bible. So at the end of the conference next week, we'll say, hey, by Christmas, turn in one of these cards. What is it that you're going to give to missions this year? But remember, it's above the tithe. It's not part of the tithe. If you do that, I think that's improper giving. I don't think it brings the blessings that it could if you were doing it correctly. Okay? They're supposed to, every church my wife and I have been in, it is, you have your tithe, you've got your building program, you give to building and structural stuff happening, and then you give to missions. The tithe always comes first. Always. And it's untouchable. Everything else, right? Can move around. And watch this. It's different for everybody. But the tithe, and I just wanted you to understand that before we go in the missions conference. If you'll pray, Lord, what would you have me give this year to mission? And pray about it. Remember what you're praying. You're praying, Lord, you got my tithe. Above the tithe, what would you have me give next year? And by faith, you're promising to give to missions. That's faith. Until next year, Jesus comes. Amen. So tonight, I wanted to give you, there's so many more verses, so many, but I wanted to give you, before we go into the missions conference, just some basic things to understand. And if you saw what I'm preparing now to give to the missionaries in my office, stacks of stuff, I get excited about it. I like it. I think it's very important to our church. Amen? So let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Lord, please, to keep our focus.